This is Bryce Gunner, and you're listening to Bobcat Radio 89.9 KTSW.
Thank you very much, Bryce Gunter. I am your host, Evan Spielvogel. I'm up top Old Main with my man, Ryan Marcus, and, of course, Kirk Jones. We just want to give a shout-out to all the beautiful young ladies out there listening to Bobcat Radio. Give us a call, 512-245-FIRE. If you want to know any sports information, we will happily share that with you. That's 512-245-FIRE. We are going to talk a little national sports and broaden out the horizon as, believe it or not, Roy Williams of the University of North Carolina basketball team has found himself in some hot water as he is facing possible charges, or not charges, I guess allegations of possible cheating stemming on his basketball team from a couple of things. One, from basketball players taking cupcake majors, taking basket weaving, and then having classes with no teachers where you just sign in and leave. Happens at some college campuses. I'm not going to name any names. And he's also facing allegations of where he's given, or not given, where he's allowed students to go up to other students and get tests and known about it and hasn't done anything. So first we're going to do thoughts, and then we're going to talk about where this happens, because it happens more than UNC, boys.
Definitely. Thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, this has been going on for a while. I remember Butch Jones was coaching the football team at UNC. The same allegations were coming up. It's just, I think it's a program thing, or athletic director program thing for UNC. It's not just Roy Williams. Butch Jones was there and ultimately got fired because of, you know, all the allegations. I remember Hakeem Nix was there. He was getting charged with academic fraud. He went to UNC. A few other players that I can't think of right now, but UNC has been known for this. I think this is just all coming out finally. I would not be surprised if actions were taken against Roy Williams and any coach.
Why should actions be? Everyone's doing it.
They got caught, though.
I think everyone's
doing it, but if you're not getting caught, it doesn't matter. Until you get caught, that's the only time it matters, in my opinion. I mean, it's bad. Obviously, I don't condone that, but if you're not getting caught, you're not in trouble, you know. And UNC got caught. They're obviously being dumb about it because they were dumb enough to get caught, so.
I think it's tough when you go to a school like UNC, which is one of the top academic schools in the country, but you want to perform athletically as well. It's tough to find those players that meet that academic requirement that can play the sports at the level you want them to. So it's easy for a coach to be like, hey, come here, we have these kind of benefits. And then all of a sudden, the spot gets blown up, and it's a huge in-depth scandal. And it happened at UNC a couple years ago, like Kirk was talking about.
Let's be honest here. If you get recruited, if you get a full-ride scholarship to the big schools, we're talking Alabama, LSU, Duke.
But those aren't academic schools like UNC is. Duke is. But
North Carolina, UNC, we're talking big boy schools, Texas, Tech, all the Rice, A&M. Oregon, you're not going there for academic honesty. You're not going there to learn. You're going there to one thing. That's play ball.
Especially in basketball.
That's
where
play
you're there
ball.
For a year. You're there for a
you're
year.
You're out.
You're there for a year, and you don't – I mean, what do grades matter? If you're good enough and you know you're going to go pro, what's the point of even trying? You know, and that's the thing that NCAA has to get a hold of in basketball, because –
they can't.
I mean, it's a tough – it's not even – where it's a tough thing they're doing right now. You know, it goes back to paying players in football and then academic honesty in basketball, because they're there for a year. I mean, honestly, if you knew you're going pro, would you even try basketball? You knew
no
good
way.
Enough,
you don't even need
school?
To try. You don't even need to try. Your freshman year, after your second semester, if you're a freshman and if you have a below a 2.0, you get a leniency because it's your first semester. So you don't even have to show up.
You get, like, what is it called? Not when you don't get suspended, but
academic probation.
Probation. You're probably on probation, and you can still play.
Then you're out.
I mean, and then if you obviously want to go to your second. If you fail your second semester, then you're on suspension, but they're not going to be there for more than two semesters. So, you know, it's just you got to recruit the right players, character players. I think it just all comes down to character.
I think the NBA plays a part in that. If they make it like football where you need 3 years, I don't think it would be as prevalent in basketball. You bring up a
what
great
should
point.
Happen to Roy Williams?
I mean, it depends
and
on
in UNC.
Have they come out and saying what they haven't charged up? I mean, if this has been going on for a while, I know a couple years ago a basketball player admitted that Roy Williams gave him time.
I saw that. Yeah,
for basketball. So I don't know if that pertains to the same thing, but it just depends on what it is. I mean, if it's worth enough where he's letting players off or bribing teachers to pass these kids, then I definitely think he should be suspended, without a doubt. I mean, you can't do that.
Maybe even fired. I don't think they'll do that to him because he's Roy Williams, unfortunately. But I think in terms of NCAA, and I don't really think this means this much, they'll vacate wins, championships, XYZ, but no one's going to deny that they won that year.
They'll just take away scholarships, but nothing to...
I think that's true. They'll take away scholarships and suspend it. I think if it comes out that it's true, suspension and scholarships
will I'll tell you all this right now. If you think it's not happening at your campus, it's happening at your campus. You better bet your bottom dollar. Another controversy is we're going to talk Jameis Winston for only a couple of minutes. Point shaving controversy scandal. Don't look now. It's the longest yard in real life with Adam Sandler controversy. Point shaving? Are we serious here?
I don't think it's... They're not.
You can't even prove it. You're not even be able to prove this.
They said the NCAA said an investigation would be taking it too far. They're inquiring, which I guess means they're talking. They're bringing it up in conversation. Which
they're going to say, "Hey, Jimbo Fisher, did you all shave points? Hey, Jameis Winston, did you all shave points?" And what are they going to say? Yes, we did. That
and then they're
going
to go up to a private FBI investigator and say, "Hey, go privatize Florida State football point shaving."
I don't think he did it. I think it's ridiculous.
Go investigate.
I think it's ridiculous to think that he did. I don't know what their evidence is that he did. I know that
that's the key.
I know that him and a former player at UAB, Chris Rabb, were both connected somehow. They both played high school based football together. Jameis Winston, Chris Rabb, he plays at the University of Alabama, Birmingham. And he said that he took off plays to help Chris Rabb get better stats for recruit or for NFL scouts. So I don't know. They're connected. I think that's ridiculous to think that he would do that. But it's Jameis Winston, so you never know. But the fact that that's even being brought up just brings Jameis Winston
into the spotlight
and
again.
Into more controversy.
And Ryan Marcus, you get the final words.
Blame Jameis.
And just like that, we are done talking about Jameis Winston, as he is not going to run Bobcat Radio. Give us a call right here in the studio, 512-245-FIRE, and let us know what you think, as the NCAA almost had a terrible weekend of college football, but it was saved by the third and fourth quarter of every single NCAA game I watched. I was watching the Texas A&M game. Looked like a blowout. That one came back. I was watching the Alabama-LSU game.
That was a
great game from the get-go. And then the Ohio State-Michigan State game was phenomenal. Ryan Marcus.
Yes.
Which one you want to talk about first?
As much as it pains me to say, let's go that big SEC matchup.
Do it.
Alabama, LSU, we know they've had a history of low-scoring games. I remember the game a couple years ago, the 9-6 game, LSU came away with the victory. But I don't know. I thought LSU was going to win. I thought that rushing attack that LSU had was too intense for Alabama. I thought LSU's defense was going to be way too good for Alabama. Blake Sims, the Alabama quarterback, does not look like he really knows what's going on out there. He looks like a chicken.
Lane Kiffin is holding his hand, I tell you what.
Yes, that is for sure. I feel like Alabama, they've played good since that tough win against Arkansas, but I don't think they deserve to be in the playoff picture. I would honestly put TCU in over them. But the game came down to overtime. LSU had ample opportunities at the end of the game. They had two late-game drives and were not able to come away with anything. Game went to overtime. Alabama scored on their first possession. LSU did not. And that was the game. Plus, fun fact, we got to see a player's pants pulled down on national television. That was pretty funny.
I'll tell you what, if you want to see the future of the NFL, just watch an LSU-Alabama game.
Their defense.
I mean,
every year.
Half the draft every year is LSU and Alabama player. I mean, this is the closest team to the NFL-level team in college football as it gets. You know, there's so many athletes, so many talented players. I thought Amari Cooper, that guy is a beast. I've seen him make so many catches this year. I mean, he looks like A.J. Green and Julio Jones, Calvin Johnson, all thrown into one. He's great. It just comes down to coaching, and I think that Nick Saban's a better coach. I think Alabama's a little bit better, more talented. LSU is having a little bit of a down year. Thought Alabama had it in hand pretty well, except for when that fumble, when Yeldon fumbled again on the, I guess it was like
late
five-yard line of, of LSU's own territory, and then they picked it up. I thought, oh, that was the dagger, but
LSU couldn't capitalize.
Alabama just moved the ball quickly, too, and they kicked the field goal, tied it up, went to overtime.
You think Nick Saban is a better coach than Les Miles?
Oh, for sure, absolutely.
Oh, man, there's no way. Les Miles has been in Baton Rouge for like 12 years.
I think he's 10 years.
10 years? Okay.
Saban's been at Alabama for 8, and Miles has been at LSU for 10. But you got to remember, Saban was at LSU too. So
he was at several places before. Before he went to the NFL and came back.
Failed with the Dolphins and said, college is easier. I'm going to do that.
College is easier, and just like that, we are going to make the switching transition to the hardwood as the NBA season is in full effect. And don't look now, but the San Antonio Spurs boys are looking a little old. You saw that game that they went down hard against the Rockets.
Yeah, they look a little stiff. I mean, they didn't have Tim Duncan or Manu Ginobili. That's
playing.
That's Spurs ball right there. You rest your stars
against the talented team,
and you make it up later in the season. They're geniuses at later in the season. They make it up. They'll go slow at the beginning, and then they'll make it up in the end, and they'll probably end up being a number one, two, or three seed again. So, not worried about the Spurs at all. They're playing great. The team I'd want to worry about are the Clippers. The Clippers play Golden State, got killed by Golden State. Golden State looking outstanding, but I expected a little more from the Clippers. Another season under Doc Rivers, Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan, Jamal Crawford. Thought they would take the next level, J.J. Redick, but looking a little stale there in the West.
I really like what Blake Griffin has done to his game. Last year, he really improved as an outside shooter and a ball handler, and I think once they get going this season, they're going to be a tough team to beat.
Yeah, they're still a decent team, but they're behind Sacramento in their division.
Sacramento's been playing very good this year.
No, I'm not taking anything away from Sacramento, but it's Sacramento. So.
The West is stacked. Let's talk about the New York Nets as they are coming out of Brooklyn. They're 4-2, 3-1 at home on the season. How about them? I mean, Darren Williams, Darren Williams. I don't know why I was going to forget his. I was going to call him Jefferson or something.
Nope.
But look for them to do something out of the East this year, especially with it being wide open as it was. They got into the playoffs easy last year, and this year it's only going to be easier because they've all played together, especially with Kevin Garnett. You got the point guard. You also have Joe Johnson. What do you think about the Nets coming out of the East, boys?
I think they're going to be an upper-middle-of-the-table team, four or five seed, maybe three seed if things go right for them. Their division's pretty open, too. The Knicks don't look like they're going to do too much. The Celtics don't look like they're going to do too much. But the Raptors, I think, is the tough team for them to beat in that division. The Raptors are looking really good this year.
And the Nets have played some, you know, pretty bad teams. They played the Pistons, the Thunder without Kevin Durant or Russell Westbrook.
Yep.
They lost to Timberwolves, who I think the Timberwolves will be good, better than people think this year, and the Knicks. So they haven't, and the Magic. So they haven't played a team that's really in the upper echelon of teams. So I think the Nets are a 500 team at best. I think they lost their head coach. And, you know, Kevin Garnett's another year older. They lost Paul Pierce. I don't know. Darren Williams is not what he used to be. I think this is a 500 team. I think they get in the playoffs because it's the East. But they're a 500 team, I think, at best.
Wow. Bold prediction there.
Lakers got their first win of the year last night.
Charles Barkley's going to be eaten.
As they beat the Hornets 107-92. You had two players on the Lakers tied with 21 points, and Jefferson led the way with the Hornets. So a good job for the Lakers to get the... It's not the Charlotte Hornets anymore.
Charlotte Bobcats.
It's the Charlotte Hornets now.
Back.
So look out, Michael Jordan. I know he's going to be a little upset tonight as we turn the clock towards Monday night games as we look at the five games that we have tonight, as the Pelicans are going to be on the road at LeBron James's home in Akron. You have Jazz taking on the Pacers, Pistons, Bulls going at it, Hawks, Knicks in the new look hockey uniforms. I don't like those. And then Spurs, Clippers tonight. That should be a terrific game.
Yeah, I want to watch that game. Yeah. Clippers, I want to see how they're 4-2, but I haven't been impressed with them so far this season. Slow start. I want to see how they play against the champion Spurs, and hopefully Tim Duncan and Manu Ginobili play this game.
I think the game to watch is Pelicans Cavaliers. LeBron's Cavaliers don't look so good this season, and I think Anthony Davis is going to come in and dominate them.
Yeah, Anthony Davis is going to throw it down up there. He is a no-holds-bar, averaging 24 points a game. And then how about this Bulls-Piston games? Do not sleep on this Bulls team, especially Key. With Derrick Rose in the lineup, it looks like he's going to be ready to go.
And Powell.
Especially with those sprained ankles. Noah is no shabby player. He's always in the All-Star game come December. So look out for this Bulls team, especially with that terrific head coach they have in
Tom Thibodeau.
I was going to say Phillips for some reason. I need to get on my names. And with that, we are done with the hardwood, and we are going to make the easy transition to the NFL, as what a week it was.
What a week it was. Does anything have any sort of consistency in the NFL?
It's the and not for long league.
That's the truth.
As what it stands for, as the Dallas Cowboys were able to shock the world in London and get a win over the Jaguars. One thing that we're going to talk about, should Romo have been in that game past the second half? Or past the first half, excuse me.
I don't think he should have played at all.
At all?
At all. I think...
At all?
At all. The Jacksonville Jaguars, while Brandon Weeden is a good backup quarterback, I think the Dallas Cowboys would have done fine without Tony Romo, even though he had their touchdowns. But DeMarco Murray, you could have given him the ball more. Brandon Weeden probably would have thrown one touchdown, and that would have been enough to beat the Jacksonville Jaguars.
I have no confidence in the Weed Man. I'm so glad that...
No confidence.
I'm so glad Romo played, because he played excellent. He played like his back wasn't broken. Jacksonville defense is not as bad as people think. Because they're Jacksonville, people think they're bad. They have a pretty good defense. I liked the win, because if Weeden would have played, it would have been questionable. They would have lost three in a row. And that would have been bad. They would have been talks of a collapse. Romo played well. I'm glad he played. And I think I would have taken him out a little quicker. He came out, I think, at the 7-minute mark of the fourth quarter. Liked Romo stepping it up. That puts confidence in me that Romo can play and take this team to deep into the playoffs.
The Dallas Cowboys, believe it or not, are 4-0 on the road. And with that, we are done talking about the Cowboys. Don't touch that dial, because when we come back, we're talking about the NFL matchups and the big upset alerts. We're also going to pick Super Bowl winners and losers, believe it or not. But first, my man Ryan Marcus has some words for you.
Yes, some words I do have. I'm here to talk to you today about Coming to Light in the Whitliff Collection on the 7th floor of the Alkeck Library. It's available from now until December 7th. It features works from 42 internationally acclaimed and emerging photographers, ranges from Southwest natural and invented landscapes to theme related to Mexico's history, beauty, and cultural impact upon the United States. That sounds like a good time. I've been up to the Whitliff Collection. Might have just been for a school project, but it's still good to take in some art and take in some culture. If you're looking for more info, you can find it on thewhitliffcollections.txstate.edu.